That's right. We get a chance here this morning to get a legislative update, and our guest this morning is 66th District Representative Sydney Carlin here from Manhattan. Good morning, Representative Carlin.
Good morning. How's my volume doing?
You sound great, actually.
Wonderful. I love to hear that.
Well, it's been, I know, a lot of work going on out in Topeka here recently, and just wanted to get a quick update on where things are at in terms of the legislative session. Are you guys on break yet, or is that coming up later in the month?
Well, actually, last weekend we had Friday and Monday off because of turnaround, which is the House had heard all its bills that we were going to hear. The Senate had heard all its bills, and so we trade bills. So now, starting last week, this week, we are starting to work on the bills that the Senate has passed, and they are working on the bills that we have passed, because every bill has to pass both houses. So that's where we are now. We're in that second phase of the session. However, the first phase is when we hear a lot of bills and decide if the committees want to work those bills or just let them lay. And so this is where the bills that are actually going to be passed take place, and it moves a lot quicker when we aren't hearing bills that no one intends to pass.
Okay. I heard some interesting bills in last week, and one of them, and I know you provided some testimony on this one, was the gun bill that would lower the concealed carry age from 21 to 18. That did pass the House, and it's moved on to the Senate. Is that right?
Yes, it has. So they will be working on it in the near future. It seems to me, if you can't buy car insurance till you're 25, that maybe 18 is a little bit young to be trusted with a gun, but I just get one vote.
Yeah, well, and that was interesting. I thought your comments on the universities having a little more say on that was kind of interesting.
I'm sure you're looking at something that I can't remember what I said, but I do think the universities ought to be able to make their own decisions, and I'm sure that's what I talked about. They should be able to regulate that kind of thing, and the state law has prohibited that for a long time. The universities have been somewhat protected with the 21 years and up being the only ones who can carry guns. And then if it opens up to 18-year-olds, which it has not yet, if it opens up to 18-year-olds, that's kids right out of high school, and, you know, they're just getting adjusted to a lot of new things. And the 21 and up was a lot better, in my view.
All right. Well, it definitely opens up some interesting things. I know we had Representative Dodson on here last week, and he said that it may come down to the Supreme Court has to weigh in on some of that, because I think the way the statute is right now, you can't legally purchase a gun at 18, but you can have one unconcealed.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes these bills are there just to test the will of the body, to see how Sydney's going to vote so they can use it on a postcard in the next election, or to see if the governor's going to sign the bill or veto it. And then they get to exercise their veto power, which they do have. They have way over 84 votes. So, you know, sometimes it becomes political. But that's pretty serious. If you put it out here in the public that 18-year-olds can carry on campus or can carry in Kansas, but they may start doing it even before the law is actually passed. So it's just something that I'm concerned about. You know, we don't want people to get the wrong impression. This bill has not been passed yet by everybody.
Right. Well, I know there's other legislation that maybe is a little more pressing here having to do with COVID and such. We were talking here briefly this morning on K-Man about our health officer is going to actually go testify before a Senate Health Committee on the vaccine process, and I wanted to see if you had any take on that, and what the issue has been with the state. I know you're probably familiar that We were not allowed to move to phase three yet because of the KDHE guidelines.
Yes, and somewhere I believe I read that it is not just KDHE, but maybe CDC guidelines, but I don't have that. I looked real quick, and I heard you on the radio a minute ago say that I was going to be asked about that. I didn't find it in that length of time, but you know, we have done an amazing job here in Riley County, and I commend our health department and our county commissioners they were right on top of it. They got a hold of us, you know, here, what's the problem? Can you help us out? And my role in that was to pass it on to the Department of Health and Environment, and while I was calling for Dr. Norman, he was on the phone with Senator Hawk, so we jumped right on it, you know, and we did what we could do at our end. But essentially, that was all solved by the good work of Julie Gibbs, who immediately began to correspond with them. I've got emails back and forth from them, and just explained her reasoning for why she wanted to move on to phase three, but was told that she needed to stick with phase two till it was completed. Because of the amount of doses we get in Kansas, it's not just KDHE and Riley County issues. So I was just very proud of how she managed that process for us here. And it was the same day I got my second dose of the vaccine that all that happened. And I just think the process has been wonderful. You know, she tried Fire Station. That didn't work so well, so she moved it. And the Potter Hall just worked very well. The process is smooth and safe. And I'm just very pleased with that. And she thought she could move forward and was happy. Maybe not happy, but very pleasant about getting back into line with the guidelines. She talked about how our population is young and unique. And that we have two counties in the city and all of that. But she was prepared to give doses to Pot County, and rather than went ahead with more on phase two. So it'll all be solved in a few days.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm curious. We've seen other states, state legislatures opening up. Texas has gotten rid of a lot of restrictions. And I know that the majority of the legislature is Republican, and they've clashed with Governor Kelly on certain restrictions she's imposed. Do you anticipate that they will try to do away with mask mandates here in the state eventually here in the next few weeks?
Nothing would surprise me, but I will say our leaders, the Speaker of the House has been very faithful with masks, and he has a lot of power in what goes to the floor and what doesn't. I don't know. I've not asked him how he felt about that, but he always wears a mask when he's out of his office, and he has been one of the early victims in the legislature of COVID, and it was following the special session where we were in there May 25th for 24 hours without leaving the room, basically. We could leave the room, but we were there voting for 24 hours. And he got the COVID from that. And he was in the hospital, and I think very sick. And he is a big, about 6'8", young, 45-year-old, 50-year-old at the most, man. And I think after you experience something like that, you have a little bit different perspective about what the public ought to be doing. So I don't know what he'll do. He has his own perspective.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, we're speaking with Sydney Carlin. She's the 66th District Representative here from Manhattan. I'll just turn the floor over to you and let you talk about anything else that you want to hear this morning as far as legislative.
I will say, since we kind of got on COVID, there are some other things going on, but the most important thing to our world right now is COVID, so it's good to talk about. But yesterday, in Appropriations Committee, we had all the regions' presidents come in and talk about how things went at their universities. And I was just so pleased to hear from every different one of them, two women, four men, about how they handled and the classes and the scheduling for the students, and about how they had to quickly respond. I mean, you know, this virus hit, and by March 1st, my son's company shut down March 1st, and nobody's worked in that in those offices since. They all work from home, and still are working from home. It's a big corporation. How do you deliver services to students? And we have a bill that is probably, well, we had an amendment to our budget that's probably going to be stripped away. I hope so. But one of the members of the committee was upset because his son was a student and he had to go to online learning. And he thought because they went to online learning, they should have to refund 50% of his tuition or more if it was full-time, all-time learning. And that bill, that amendment passed in our committee of 22 people, which I was surprised that everybody had that attitude. But we had the presidents in. They talked about how they determined what to do. And you know, it all happened as they were coming back from spring break, and they were literally all over the world. I know Topeka K-12 education was worried because some of their groups had gone overseas to tour and sing or whatever. And all these kids were coming back into classrooms after they've been in other countries, and we didn't know. So I think the decisions that were made protected the safety of the students and faculty, and that was what we had to do in that stage. And after we learned how to manage the virus, then things began to open up better. And I was just very pleased. They all had this, they had worked together. They had all determined what was best for their community, and they shared their ideas. And it was really an amazing testimony yesterday. So thank you. I'm glad we had a chance to say that. And also, the federal bill that has just passed would allow a $330 million for Medicaid expansion. If we would choose to do that, we would get $330 million more a year. And it would be for 8 years. So talk about something that needs to happen, Medicaid expansion. And I don't know whether we'll get anywhere with that. The Senate failed to pass it the other day, so I don't know. I don't know what can happen.
Yeah, that'd certainly be something to watch. We've learned a lot here in the past year, haven't we?
Oh, we sure have, and that's just apparent. And I feel so much more comfortable at work now than I did when I was going back in January. I thought, I don't know about this, you know, but we've restricted the public from being in the building without a reason, a purpose. If they have a purpose, they can come in, but just to wander in and look around, we don't do that right now. It feels really bad in a way because I miss having the people there, but we're really down to business all the time, and we're in our offices or we're on the floor, and we don't get to share conversations. We don't have receptions. So there's a lot of social, political work not occurring, but we can reach each other by phone and by Zoom, and we do most of our meetings. Well, all of our meetings are on Zoom, and the public can watch. So there's a lot of improvement. I hope we can. We're starting to relax more that now that more of us have been vaccinated, but we're still wearing masks. And if we would just continue to wear the mask until we really feel that we've got it taken care of, it would be to our advantage. We're all worried about the variants and what will happen after people relax their counties. And so good luck, Riley County. You know, it feels nice when you drive around, see people, see cars in Aggieville and people. You know, it's just, it was pretty eerie a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was. Well, Representative Carlin, sorry we're a little short on time, but I really appreciate the update here this morning.
Thank you for calling me.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate that. Always love hearing from our area representatives, and Cindy Carlin joining us here this morning on KMAN.
And we certainly hope our listeners appreciate those legislators for taking some time to visit with us, because the communication with the public is a goal that we have with the legislators and our listeners, and I believe we try to achieve that every Friday morning.